See, when you're born again, you drive your car differently. On my way here, the driver who came, who drove me here, I mean the taxi driver, was one of the fastest I've ever ridden in. Now, I didn't tell him to hurry up, I just kept my mouth shut and said, yeah, bring me here. He goes, and like Jehu, King Jehu in the Bible. And so I realized that if this person is a believer, who is renewed in the word, because I know there are a lot of believers who even drive worse. I mean, this taxi, every time somebody was slow, he would horn, come on, get out of the way. And very rude. Now, as believers, we should never do that. You should be the most patient person. The test of the fruit of the Spirit is out there on the roads. How you drive. Excuse me if I'm talking about some of you driving here. But there is a Christian way of driving and a non-Christian way of driving. Because you become rude. And do you notice the way people drive car is the way people's character are? It is reflected in your driving. The one who always loves to overtake, aggressive guy. Business, home, everywhere, very aggressive. The one who is too slow, right? Always, you know, people have to stop me and say, hey, you know, you're not supposed to drive that slow. And always on first gear. Never got past first gear. And that guy is too slow. And in all the things of life, also the person is too slow. So there is a normal pace. And so this is the first time you're going to ever check your driving tonight. Because that's, if you never saw yourself before, see yourself in your driving. That's your character, my friends. You are what you are. And so, now don't feel embarrassed, because I have to learn all these things too. The Lord has to show me. When I first learned driving, you know, these people who are young, first learn driving, they really enjoy driving fast. But then as you mature and as you grow, and you find that the more patience you have in your heart, the more patience you are as a driver. It all reflects out. Now, the same way, when we are talking about hagios, you move beyond the law. You go beyond the law. You fulfill everything about the law, plus you went extra. The extra mile that Jesus talks about. That's holiness. Let me give you an illustration from life. For example, for normal people and normal Christians, it would be alright to read the newspapers every day. I mean, it's you don't even think about it. Now, it's alright. I'm not saying it's not alright. It just comes on your doorstep every morning. But we don't order the papers. And the reason is because of your consecration. I possibly read less papers than the average person. Many times I read, maybe sometimes when I'm traveling here and there, and it's there. But this is a consecration. If I ever wanted to buy papers, I have to ask the Lord, is it alright? Now, some of you are going to say, this guy very extreme. You know your mind. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. And I'm talking about God's requirement for me. He never gave that rule to you. Because when you want to minister, when you want to give yourself to God, especially if I'm ministering, you want to hear the Holy Spirit. If you read too much newspapers, when you close your mind and close your eyes to get to the Holy Spirit, all you hear are, these are the headlines. Very distracting to the mind. Very hard to get into the spirit. And so because of that, God places a higher standard, which I say is called holiness. You go beyond what is average. And God never, remember that, God never ask everybody to do that. Especially, let's say you're in a business world, you need to keep up with all those business things going on. But I'm not. I'm in the ministry. I keep up with the Word of God. See, different calling and different purposes, so God requires different things. But God may require different things of you, that for you constitute your holiness to the Lord. That's what we are talking about. So you can be righteous and yet not holy. Isn't that marvel? Because holiness is an extra that you move into. Now as we look at that and compare it to the book of Numbers here, what he's talking about here, with that background understanding, when you look back here, he's talking about, in chapter 1 to 4, he's talking about that special call, that special work, separated unto God. Now, in chapter 5 to chapter 8, again it's all mixed up together. Do you notice that in chapter 1 to 4, Aaron symbolized holiness, separated. The Levite symbolized righteousness. And the common people symbolizes what is good, what is necessary for them. All the three levels are there. Now in chapter 5, 6, 7 and 8, you see the same thing. Chapter 5, there is the general law. What is good for everybody? See, in chapter 5, all those things there are good for everybody. What happened if everybody breaks chapter 5, verse 1 and 1 to 3? The whole camp will smell like a toilet. So God say, don't ever do that. Right? God doesn't want his camp to smell like a toilet. And so there is rules for everybody. It's good for everybody. And in chapter 6, he's talking about what is special. What is special? 6 and 7, special. Chapter 8 talk about righteousness of the Levite, of the lepers, coming back into the acceptance. As a leper, they were not accepted. Now they can come back through the cleansing process. So accepted back to righteousness. Now, so we want to focus especially in chapter 6 about how special it is. See, in chapter 6, God gave the law of the Nazarites. Why is the law of Nazarites given? Because God is a God who does not respect people. Anyone who wants to come close to Him, in spite of His law that He has brought forth, that came about as a result of obedience and disobedience of man, He wants all to know all can come as close as they want to Him. The law of Nazarites is very powerful and important. For originally in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, have your Bible, Exodus 19, it says in verse 6, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words which is speak to the children of Israel. That is Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. God says to all the 12 tribes of Israel, "You shall be a kingdom of priests." But we all know, after Exodus chapter 32 and 33, it was not fulfilled. For all the tribes fell into sin at the absence of Moses, except the tribe of Levi. And so after the incident, God said only the tribe of Levi will be priests. All the others were now excluded. God didn't want it that way. The original purpose of God is given in Exodus 19, verse 6. But because of the failures of men, God chose only the Levites. And then out of the Levites, He chose and separate Aaron and all his sons. But then, because of the mercy and the love of God, that now that He has set this law and this system, perhaps in the future generations, there may be others in the other tribes who may want to be a priest, want to be close to God like a priest. God must still give an open door for them. And the open door is through the law of the Nazarites. There are many types of Nazarites, you will examine here. There are what I call the temporary Nazarites, who for a period of time separate themselves. Then there are others who are the permanent Nazarites. Samson is an example. Samuel was another one. John the Baptist. You have three in the Bible as examples. Samson, and Samuel, and John the Baptist. That means all their lives are separated for God. They would never touch any worldly thing. They would never involve in any worldly thing. They would separate themselves unto God. So this is the law of the Nazarites. It's so powerful that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, you notice that in the birth of Samuel and his genealogy, Samuel was never a tribe from the tribe of Levi. Samuel's father was from the tribe of Ephraim. And the Ephraimites were not the chosen tribe. Yet Samuel could rise up through the law of the Nazarite to become the main priest. Isn't that powerful? He was from the tribe of Ephraim. But through the law of Nazarite, God accepted him. He was the main priest and prophet and judge during the transition point of Israel in 1 Samuel. That's how powerful the law of Nazarite is. And so we take note of this special. Now, definitely, in the law of Nazarite, he's talking about holiness, not just righteousness. Because not everybody is required to fulfill the Nazarite vow. So in God's provision, here we understand in the book of Numbers, God allows us what level you want to walk with Him. Whether all you want to do is have a good heart, agathos. You know, good heart, but you know there are certain things in your life that are still wrong and sinful. And the Holy Spirit is dealing with your life. And I know long ago there was this this person, and he had left his wife and he was living with two other women. Every time he read the Bible, after he came to know the Lord, he read the Bible, he knew that it was wrong. And he wished that those passages in the Bible were not there. But the Holy Spirit keep dealing with him. Everything about him is good. He's a good man. But one day he decided to move from goodness to righteousness. He gave up both of them and he went back to his wife. So what has happened? He has moved from just being good, agathos, into... He was good to his wife. He was good to the two ladies too. But it was sinful. Took care of them. Fed them. Clothed them. Good. But illegal. So he moved from there into righteousness. And today, he's active in the ministry. If he had not given that, he could never move into that. And he moved into righteousness, legal. Things that are right. But when you receive a call of God, like when we consider the book of Leviticus, remember the standards given to the priest were higher. God said the priest cannot marry even a divorced person, they must marry a virgin. Talking about the Old Testament, right? I'm not talking about New Testament grace period. But I'm talking about the... It's alright for the other people to do it. But it was not right for the priest.
For some of them, they came from broken homes. In the Old Testament sense, they may be dead. They may be remarried. But here, when he talk about the Levitical priesthood, he says they must marry a virgin. That's in the book of Leviticus. We cover that. Remember on the qualities of leadership. We talk about those priests.